On this week's episode of the Ritual Misery Podcast, I am finally back on the show, back from New York, and Amos has been watching dog videos?
Yeah, because Adobe maxed me out this week.
Well, is Adobe maxing out on gunfighting in the galaxy?
Maybe, but maybe it's also just watching idiots at Six Flags.
And we have Squid this week.
No.
That was very anticlimactic. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 190 for Thursday, the 18th of October, 2018. This is a show where two lifelong friends and their guests celebrate all things geek. I'm Amos. That's Kent, drinking from the official Lyft-sponsored beer koozie. And this week we do have, as Kent just kind of mentioned before, Squid. How are you doing this week?
Better now that you guys are around, finally.
Are you saying that you didn't like doing the show by yourself?
Oh my God, that was frightening.
It was a lot of fun to watch, though.
All I can say about it is I am so far behind on publishing everything. So if you are watching this live and you haven't heard the Squid episode or my episode from last week, I'm sorry.
You can go over to twitch.tv/ritualmisery, click on videos, and yeah, They're both currently available.
Yeah, for a limited time. Literally.
Yep.
Hey, man, Kent, you went to New York this week. You're wearing an I Love New York shirt because why not?
Because that's what you do when you go to New York.
That's so awful even for you, dude. Like,
We went to New York. I've never been to New York before. Steph's never been to New York before. And we wanted to do everything that we could do in New York in a week. And we did our best. That included checking the boxes on all the stereotypical things, like buying an I Love New York t-shirt. I ate New York pizza. I ate hot dogs from a street vendor. We went to a Broadway play, walked through Central Park. We yelled at taxi drivers. We hung out in Harlem with Curtis LaRock. Which was definitely one of the highlights of the trip. We did as much in a week, I think, as you can cram into a week in New York, particularly in Manhattan. We really didn't branch out far from Manhattan.
But I mean, did you pass out drunk in Central Park, wake up naked next to a strange man with a cat sitting on your face?
Hey, don't tell everybody my story.
That is one box I did not check.
I mean, come on, dude. That's simple, right?
But, you know, I tell you what, though. Manhattan is a crazy ass place, and I saw a lot of crazy people doing crazy shit. But one instance of craziness that happened while I was there, I did not get the opportunity to witness. And I was wondering if you could click in the show notes the box that I'm highlighting right now. If you can show our audience this short little 6-second video clip of something that occurred in Manhattan. Apparently, this was the night before we left. A guy, this was probably, I don't know, 10 blocks away from where we were staying. This guy decided that he wanted to fight a police car.
Let's see this.
Ay, mi madre, vea, vea.
That's impressive. He's butt naked punching the window of a police car in the street.
Yeah. Apparently the cops, you know, responded to the many, many, many callers and went and got him and took him directly to a psychiatric hospital.
My kung fu mo better than your kung fu. Sure.
Yeah. For what it's worth, he was whipping that car's ass. Wasn't even responding. It was like it was too shocked to punch him back. That's
yeah. And what's super impressive to me is it's getting cold in New York now. It's probably when that video was shot, it was probably about 40 degrees, and the man is completely naked, junk swinging around, like no fucks given by that guy.
Yeah. And Bean wants to know if you got kicked out of a bar while you were in New York.
No, I didn't actually. I think what it was, I didn't spend a whole lot of time in any particular bar. We went to quite a few bars. And
so you didn't try to work your way back into a bar you were previously in, only be told that you were too drunk to go in to try to fight correct. The bouncer at the door because you just left.
Yeah, I mean, not that that's ever happened to me in any other city, but
no, never.
In fact, well, one of the points that we made was that we would never eat at the same restaurant more than once, and we would not drink at the same bar more than once.
That's so, good policy. Yeah. How long were you there? Was it like 7 days or whatever?
Yeah, it was Tuesday to Tuesday.
That's cool. That's not bad at all. While you were away at New York, I was planning a trip of my own. So Thursday, I'm flying to DFW. I'm going to have lunch with Dark Redeemer and then cruise on down to San Antonio, spend the night with the wife because she's doing a symposium in San Antonio.
She's doing some sort of a fancy word in San Antonio. San Antonio.
Yes, exactly. That's what I got out of that. I have no idea what it's about. I'm not there for that.
Could you use that in a sentence?
My wife is going to a symposium in San Antonio. and then well, Friday we are driving up to Abilene, old stomping grounds, to visit some friends that you've actually met, Kent, AJ and Matt and their associated wives.
Is this the guy that has the washing machine that talks to him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That would be Matt.
Why did you not lead off with, we're going to see my friend who talks to washing machines.
No. It talks to him.
Yeah, there's a difference, Sean. Yeah,
if he was talking to washing machines, I would have led off with that. That's
so the washing machines have an existential crisis.
By way of an app on his phone, yes. And then Saturday morning, we are driving up to a little town outside of Abilene to pick up our puppy and then drive back to DFW and fly back here to Alaska. We are actually picking up Sam is my dog that died a couple years ago. We're picking up his nephew. It's a done deal. The arrangements have been made and it's going to be very, very interesting. So yes, I've been watching a lot of dog videos and I know I mentioned that last week, but that's all I've done all week is watch dog videos on how to train dogs and not raise a shitty dog.
Yeah, because you do not want shitty dogs.
No, I don't have the patience for a shitty dog. Like,
you know, so many people have just all the patience in the world for shitty dogs. I mean, obviously, because
they have
how many people
dogs.
Have shitty yeah, dogs. Exactly.
and I am fully under the thought process that it's not the shitty dog that makes the shitty dog. It's the shitty owner that makes the shitty dog. Or the shitty family that makes a shitty dog. So, I don't want to be a shitty owner or a shitty family. So I don't want a shitty dog. So it's, yeah.
Well, if you accidentally get a shitty dog, can the shitty dog turn the family into a shitty family?
I think, that's a good quandary. I know a good family can turn a shitty dog into a good dog.
Oh, that's, all right. Well, that's good. That's good.
I mean, that's just fact.
Okay, I lost count at 25 shitty dogs.
That's too many shitty dogs to have.
There's a lot of shitty dogs happening right now.
And one is too many, so.
Now, I'm just really disappointed that you didn't get a Alaskan Husky. Being in Alaska, isn't it like just like law that you have to have a Husky up there?
No.
No, it's either a Husky or a Timberwolf.
For us, it was either one of Sam's kin, like it is in this case, or something way smaller than a Husky or a German Shepherd. So,
dude, if it snows any depth, that dog's going to get lost.
The German Shepherd?
Yeah.
He's like an albino, right?
No, this one's actually more of a silver German Shepherd versus the blonde that Sam was.
Ah.
Okay. Yeah, we couldn't get the same color dog. That'd just be weird. It'd be Sam 2.
Basically a clone. Yeah, exactly.
No, and Sam was 100 over 100 pounds when he died, and he was 18 months old. He was not a short dog. Mm-hmm. Sam was a large, tall animal.
Mm-hmm.
we have an extra large kennel, and he was already filling that kennel up with his girth. Like, you could barely move around in it. So Kent knows, Kent met him. big dog.
Yeah, true fact.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Like, that's all I've been doing. Now, hopefully none of us are part of this crowd, but Sean, you've been watching, says watching idiots lay in a coffin at Six Flags. Like, please tell me there's more to this than just idiots at Six Flags. Cause that's kind of a non-starter for me.
Yeah. It's always about idiots at Six Flags, but,
this is true.
Last week there was this big promotion that they did all over most of the Six Flags around the country to sleep in a coffin overnight at Six Flags. In which case, you could go there, you could fuck with the people all day. When it became night, you could shine lights in their eyes, and they were just stuck laying there. And I decided, okay, let's go check this out, because I'm not going to lay in a coffin. Yeah, this is getting too close for that to happen.
So, hold on, what's the point? Like, why do people sign up for this if people are just going to fuck with them? I mean, you're not going to actually sleep in it.
Yes. No, they were actually going to sleep on them.
But with people fucking with them and like shining lights and grabbing at them and. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're missing a central focus here, as in. What's the benefit for the people that are supposedly sleeping in these coffins and getting shit, getting fucked with? Like, are they getting
$300 a free season pass? Not like one of their memberships, just a season pass, one express band for one day during their Fright Fest, and a coffin.
You get to keep the coffin?
You get to keep the coffin.
Oh, it's California. That's a done deal. They had people lined up at the door for this shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
No, and that's the thing. The one here in California, only a couple people actually stuck around for the full 30. The one in St. Louis, like, they stayed there for the full 30. In fact, they skipped breaks.
Mm.
So what 30? What, 30 hours?
Yeah.
Or, wow.
30 hours in a coffin.
Like, that they jumped on Friday. They jumped into the coffin at noon, went all the way until 6 p.m. the next day. Meanwhile, they would occasionally have to, the only time they would get out is like 6 minutes an hour to go poop. Yes, yes, being more poop. And then from there, they'd have to like occasionally have to do like a scare zone or a haunted house by themselves, where they fully packed it out, like really went at them, scared them. And then they would have like all the characters still dressed up all night, staying there, like banging on their coffins in the middle of the night and constantly screwing with them. And of course, up until closing, you could stay there with them. And like I said, people were sitting there with flashlights shining them in their eyes and yelling stuff and banging on the coffins. And
okay, so as a matter of principle, this is something I could do, because you tell me, okay, go do this. You get 6 minutes an hour to shove your face full of food or empty your ass. I'm down. Like, and I get to keep a coffin, get $300 a season pass and a fast pass band, whatever it is, for a day during Fright Fest. I'm down. I could do that. Like, that, I wouldn't sign up for it, but if I had to, no problem. Like, I'm not afraid of that. Here's where it stops for me. As soon as that casket is closed and begins moving, I'm done. Like, if you close the casket, I'm still good. I'm just sitting there chilling out. Okay. As long as it's not locked and I have a way out, I'm good. As soon as that casket is closed and it feels like someone's lifting it up, I'm done. I have visions of Louis being buried upside down in the walls in a casket, and I'm done. Like, as soon as the coffin moves, I'm out. I'm out.
Wait, what's the story about Louis?
Interview with the vampire.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Louis got thrown in, locked in a coffin. The coffin turned upside down and then buried behind a brick wall. To sit there for eternity, upside down, uncomfortable, and hungry. No, thank you.
Yeah, but Armand will come get you the next night. It's fine.
Right, as everyone I love burns in the sunlight. No, thank you.
all right. I mean, that's one small detail.
Yeah. It's really the technicalities that get you on that point. Okay. So, Kent, would you do this? Is this something you would do? And where's the line? Where's the line, either time wise or construct wise, that you would draw the line if you would be able to do this?
No, I would totally do this. Like the time constraint itself, like 30 hours is a large chunk of time, so it would have to be like planned accordingly. Like it couldn't be during work. It couldn't be during, like, you know, any planned family function. Outside of that, like, just my time is my own time. I'll lay in a fucking coffin for 30 hours. That's my kind of gig. Like, not have to do anything.
$10 an hour to ignore people.
Yes.
It's not a bad deal.
Let's do it.
All right. So where would you draw the line? Where would you say, okay, enough, I'm done, I'm out?
I mean, don't, like, set me on fire or, like, fill the coffin with fire ants or something.
Right. No.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
Oh, geez. Okay. Wait.
They actually had a box with a tarantula, and they showed it to everybody that's in the coffin. You're sitting in the coffin, and they set it right in front of you. They sat it there for like a while. Then they opened it up and put it into the coffin. But when they first took the spider out, they put in a fake one, but didn't tell anybody. They're just like, you couldn't see them slip in the fake spider. You just felt them move around and felt something fuzzy, and then it would stay there. And then you'd have to sit there for like 20 minutes with the spider there and try not to freak out.
I'm going to go ahead and call it, that's where Kent bails.
No, I'm actually okay with that, because if this is an organized function and someone is putting a tarantula on me, even if it was the real deal tarantula.
Yeah.
Like I know that I'm not going to be like permanently injured by this thing if it does bite, and chances are it's not going to bite anyway. Tarantulas don't typically bite people unprovoked.
I think I can handle that. Crawling up your pant leg, though.
Well, that's something else. Like, if it's crawling into my clothes, yeah, I might be done there.
All right, Sean, how about you, man? Where would you draw the line?
I have no problem sitting there for 30 hours. Mm-hmm. That's cool. The minute you create a wooden casket out of it, no, done. No, I am way. No, I've been too close to living in that casket before. No, I'm not. No, not handling the casket. And then to find out that I'm cool with the people messing with me, that's cool. But when minute that they would have put that spider right in front of me, that's it. I'm out. I'm running. See ya. Goodbye. In fact, one of the guys, I forget where it was, one of the guys, like, as soon as they gave him a break, like the first break, he jumped, ran, grabbed a bunch of shirts, and booked it out of the park.
Damn.
Oh, man.
That would suck if you're like at 29 and a half hours in, and then that's when you hit your breaking point.
Yeah. A lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy. Kent, are you having, is this one of those dreams that you go through every once in a while where you're like the illusions of awesomeness?
Grandeur?
No, not grandeur. Even you can't imagine that.
Dude, like, being a lone gunfighter in the far reaches of the galaxy has been my dream since I was old enough to know what a gunfighter and a galaxy was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like my Star Wars wet dream. And that just happens to be the basic show synopsis of the new Star Wars TV show that is coming out, I believe, sometime next year. Began filming. It's called The Mandalorian. And yeah, that's what it's about. It's a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy. So basically what I picture in my head is the good, the bad, and the ugly set in the Star Wars universe, where the main protagonist, where the man with no name, is wearing Mandalorian armor. And the show is run by Jon Favreau,
who you probably know from.
Oh, you don't like Jon Favreau? He's
no, I was so, I was
director.
So, everything was so perfect. I was like waiting for, and the showrunner's going to be Josh Whedon. And I was just going to lose it and go, okay, I'm down. I'm in on it. Yes, I've got to see this.
Well, okay, so one of the directors that's been announced for this is Taika Waititi, who directed Thor Ragnarok. And I am super stoked for this show. I cannot wait. It's actually, I put a link in the show notes for the official StarWars.com page where they reveal a photo from mm-hmm. the set. And it gets me more and more excited. When I was like 4 years old and I saw Boba Fett for the first time, I fell in love with that character, mostly because of the armor, because let's be honest, the character doesn't actually do much of shit.
So you had a Mandalorian chub.
Yeah. Like it's anyway, I'm so excited for this show. It's got so much potential. They're putting a lot of talent behind it. Dumping a lot of money into it. They're putting off making some of the newer films. Like Episode 9 is still on schedule, but all other films have been postponed. This is like the next live action thing that we're going to get to see. Mm-hmm. I'm super duper stoked for it.
So what do you think about all the other stuff being shelved for now, like being postponed, delayed, whatever? With Bob Iger coming out and saying, well, the reason we're doing this so quickly is because of me. I'd made the decision.
Yeah,
a lot of people are giving. What's her name? It just left my mind.
Ray.
No, the head honcho of Lucasfilm. Yeah, Kennedy.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, a lot of people are giving Kathleen Kennedy a lot of grief over the pacing and the release schedule, and there was just too fast, too much, too soon, not spending the time on it and everything else. And for Bob Iger to come out and say, no, that was all me. I was the one pushing that. I was the lone consultant on that as the CEO of Disney. Does that change your perspective on things a little bit, or were you always a Kathleen Kennedy purist or what?
No, I mean, I'm not a loyalist to any particular, figurehead. I think Kennedy has done a good job being the overall producer of Lucasfilm. The pacing was a bit aggressive mm-hmm. for the release schedule. I didn't mind it because, you know what? Give me more Star Wars. Oh, you gave me 5 movies last month? Okay, give me more Star Wars. Like, my appetite is so huge for Star Wars. However, from a pop culture standpoint, from a fan fatigue standpoint, yeah, their release schedule was aggressive, especially releasing Solo, 5 months after Episode 8?
Mm-hmm.
That's too much too quick. So I think slowing down the pace, maybe coming out with a new movie every couple of years, maybe go back to the old school schedule of once every 3 years, but have a live action TV show going and a cartoon going at the same time. That's good amount of content.
Here's where I'm at. I love what Kathleen Kennedy is trying to do. She was always the savior of what Lucas was screwing up. She was like the one voice there that kind of put him at bay a little bit. So as long as it's not Lucas screwing up his own perfection, I'm okay with that. I really am. Yes, this schedule was too much for our feature length movies, but Rogue One would have been an awesome TV series. Solo could have been an awesome TV series. Do like they did with Mandalorian. They were going to Mandalorian be a film. They said, no, film. Let's make it a series. Let's make it an 8-part series so we could tell a full length, fully in depth storyline. And I know I shit on Jon Favreau just now. I don't mean to. I love him. I mean, I got a Swingers poster sitting right up there. So my love for Favreau is deep, way deep. I mean, I still sit there and shout Rudy, and I still, I mean, trust me, I love Favreau. And he's going to do great on this. It's just, I want to see more of this in-depth storytelling where we're a binge culture now. So make them longer, spread them out more. Let's like binge on this one piece and kind of chew on it. Let that steak sit, savior in my mouth.
I'm of the mindset that, especially with like Mandalorian, the concept of taking some of this stuff, I think I'm in the Sky Johnson camp. Like, I want to know stories that have nothing to do with anything we've ever seen ever so far. Like, I don't even want to use the role-playing books as like guides. Like, take me somewhere way out there, the other side of the galaxy, on some planet no one's ever even conceived of yet, and show me some random stuff. Show me some flies with Jedi powers, you know? I mean, show me something that is just completely left field that still ties in the overall scheme of Star Wars. And if you want to slow the pace down to make that happen, if you want to change how you're presenting the material, not just, you know, to take more time to produce quality material, but to put an artificial starvation period in there to, you know, make us thirst for it a little bit more. I'm all for it. Like, everything that I've heard about what Kathleen Kennedy, Bob Iger, and Disney in general is doing with Lucasfilm right now, it sounds like they're really, you know, they're like, hey, you know what? This Marvel thing really worked. Let's stop trying to reinvent the wheel and let's do what we do with Marvel, but at Star Wars' own pace. Exactly. And I think that's going to be amazing.
And it's not just that. You also got to put the right people in charge and let them take their choices and let them stay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the bad stuff that you hear about Solo is because they didn't allow the original directors and writers to keep going in that path. Let it go down the path. Have faith in those guys. They're bigger fans than we are.
We don't know the status of Solo pre Ron Howard.
The one thing that we do know is that the Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote the film, was pissed off that the directors were going way off script, because they were supposed to make the movie that he wrote, and they were writing like something loosely based on the script that he wrote. And Kasdan holds a lot of weight in Lucasfilm, and I'm sure there's a lot more to that story, but that was like one of the main pushes for it.
Yeah. Did they do any more primary shooting or secondary shooting after Ron Howard took the helm?
Oh yeah. Ron Howard like reshot like half to three quarters of that movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. I bet the budget was just demolished on that one.
Yeah. And that was a big problem. That's one of the reasons that the movie was so expensive to make.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that it didn't make nearly as much money as they were expecting it to make is because they released it so quickly after Episode 8. There was the Star Wars fatigue factor, plus the big backlash, or the exaggerated backlash that came from the so-called Star Wars fans, et cetera. I mean, we can debate that, and we're not going to do that here right now. But
I think
the backlash from Episode 8 caused a lot of the consternation, or I guess reservations, about people going to see Solo.
When you're sitting in a Star Wars movie, and one of the trailers of that Star Wars movie is another Star Wars movie.
Star Wars movie.
Yeah, right.
Somebody screwed something up.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and especially when they had the release date before they brought Ron Howard on. The least they could have done is brought Ron Howard on, say, hey, we are changing the release date, pushing it out. They have all of the rest of this year and then most of the beginning of next year to really still have a safety zone before 9 comes out at the end of next year.
They need to just make it Marvel May and Star Wars December and just stick with that, because that formula really, really works.
Yep.
You still kind of get fed on both directions, and you don't have to worry about crunching, because you're talking about one of the biggest movie release years. I mean, you had Ready Player One. You had Quiet Place. You had The Avengers, you had Solo, had so many big movies.
How much of this compressed schedule they had Star Wars in, and particularly Solo, was based on the fact that Disney is also the major player in so many movies late summer and going into this winter? You know, I mean, I'm not saying there was, but how much of that might have affected it? Like, there could be Disney level stuff at work.
Well, yeah, because you start when you're releasing so many movies, you run into the problem of competing with yourself.
Exactly.
So you're undercutting your profits by competing with yourself, basically.
Especially when you're targeting the same market, like Marvel and Star Wars. There's a very big cross section in that Venn diagram.
Oh yeah, I mean it's basically just a circle.
Yeah.
And then you add in any of the Pixar's or any of the Disney fandoms that also cross over right into that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, all right. Man, if you were looking on this show for some geekery and you haven't found it yet, then there's something very wrong with you because that just happened. But it's time to move on to some more geekery, actually. L.A. Comic-Con is coming. Sean, are you actually attending this year, or are you just going to be one of the resident non-attendees?
Oh, no, I got my 3-day weekend pass, and I'm probably going to shoot down after work from Thousand Oaks, going to shoot down to downtown L.A., pick up the pass on Thursday so I don't have to worry about doing that on Friday.
Mm.
But this year it's going to be really, really interesting because this is first year without Stan Lee's presence. And I almost didn't buy tickets this time only because that would have hurt too much. I mean, whenever you go, you feel Stan Lee's presence there throughout the entire place. You can run into him and he stops and he says, hi, everybody around. There's like, it is one of the most positive cons I've ever been to. Like, there is no crowdedness. Everybody takes care of each other. Everybody makes sure everybody's got room. Everybody helps each other out. It's not about, hey, get out of my way. I'm standing in line here. Let me crowd up this line for the panel. It's like, no, they even have panels right there on the floor, so you don't even have to worry about standing in line. But this year, without Stan Lee's presence, you're now seeing like a huge VIP section. Like, they're walling off half of the staged area just for VIPs. Which,
what is the reason for his non-attendance? Is it just poor health, or?
I think it's poor health. It's also the crap going on with his daughter, the stealing of his blood to make comics, to put it in Ghost Rider comics to be exact, the mess up with his financials. I mean, losing what, $30 million.
Yeah, but I think, well, see, I was under the impression that he was putting putting his empire back together. Like he was well down the path of getting everything back. He got back his social media accounts, getting, you know, control of his money back and all of that sort of stuff. I thought he was kind of not necessarily whole again, but well on his way.
He's almost there. You can tell, like, he's starting to produce more stuff. He's starting to do more articles and letting more people back in. But you can tell, I mean, this last article that he did with his daughter and his daughter's lawyer, you can see the man's just broken. He's hurt. And it hurts a lot of us that actually run in. I mean, it's hard not to run into him in L.A. unless he's not leaving his house. I mean, there are one of the best things to do is go on Stan Lee sightings. And to see one of his projects just kind of fizzle and just go, okay, it's going to be its own thing now, no more Stan Lee involvement, kind of really hurt. So it took me a while to actually go this year.
So are you cosplaying?
Hell no.
I thought maybe you could go. Maybe you could be a Stan Lee stand-in, like cosplay as.
He's gonna go as a fan. He's gonna dress up as a fan.
Mess. Yeah.
Excelsior.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, from conventions about to happen to conventions that just recently happened, Adobe Max was earlier this week. I think it may still be going on. I'm not sure. The big stuff happened all earlier this week. New updates to Audition and Lightroom, of course, are the big things that I'm interested in for photography and for audio. Neither one of them had major updates, but they were both. You're not going to go buy Lightroom or Audition or subscribe, rather, if you weren't already. But if you already have it, like I was really excited about the small changes that they're adding, the features that they're adding. It was pretty cool. And it was interesting because this year their presentation, their whole flow of it seemed more Apple-like, you know, without the Johnny Ive.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole presentation in itself.
Yeah. Did you guys catch any of this? Did any of this hit any of your circles at all?
No, like not at all. I had no idea Adobe was putting on a keynote or whatever you want to call it, a release party thing.
An annual convention?
Yeah, let's call it that.
I knew it was about time they were going to start shaking things up because there's word that like they bought out some big IPs and started incorporating it, but I didn't know they were actually trying to pretend to be Apple because we all know fuck Apple.
Of course, there's the obligatory Sean fuck Apple. So Amos, besides making the software bigger, faster, stronger, sleeker, etc., I mean, what is the big draw? Like what? You said they're adding some features. Do you have an example of something that you're looking forward to seeing?
For me personally, it's really the small stuff. They added a lot of, the easiest way to explain it would be filters in Lightroom. Although that's okay. Not what they are. They're more presets and additional things that you can tweak about a picture. And in Audition, there's more content aware, like, it can recognize cost. Plosives, things like that a little bit better. You know, just the stuff that, you know, that I do on the side, the editing podcasts on the side, that will make that a little bit easier. The one thing that I really saw, so they came out with basically an iMovie equivalent for the iPad and iPhone. So you can now edit. It's like basically Premiere Pro, except it's a mobile version.
They needed that. They really needed that.
They announced... and they said everything was coming forth in the 2019, which today Apple announced their next event. So I don't think that's a coincidence. They announced a full version of Photoshop on the iPad Pro. Full version, not scaled down, not separate files. It taps directly into your Adobe Cloud and you can import the same files that you would use on the desktop. You have the same controls, the same brushes, all this stuff. It's Photoshop on the iPad as opposed to a Photoshop port for the iPad, which is what we have now. And that's coming next year. That was really the big thing that they were talking about. Although I'm not much of a Photoshop power user. So that's why that wasn't my big thing. But still, it's interesting to see them finally, because Photoshop is an amazing program if you're a graphic designer or whatever else. But it's very, very heavy. It's very intensive, power intensive. For them to be able to port it in a full way onto the iPad, we'll see how it goes, but that if it stands up to any of its promise, that is very significant.
Well, you got to remember, Premiere was always Adobe was the Apple go-to for the longest time. In fact, before the iMac,
right.
The only way you could use Premiere was to use it on Macs. And the only reason they started coming up with like Final Cut Pro and iMovie and all that stuff is because Premiere was so heavy and it would kill. I mean, I killed so many Macs just using Premiere alone, not anything else, because it's so resource heavy. Mm-hmm. But it is the most stable. It was always the most stable, the most user-friendly, the best program to use when you're sitting there 40 hours deep into a project and you didn't have to worry about losing everything on Premiere. But when you went to Final Cut Pro, you would lose crap on that in that second and have to start over from the absolute scratch.
Yeah.
So I'm actually happy to hear all this again. I was really hoping to hear that they would actually like launch more into outside tablets, not just, you know, go, okay, we got to make our Apple people happy. Let's stretch our wings even more.
Well, that's
Premiere really was good at.
They touted their partnership with Apple as they were talking about the iPad Pro. Apple is doing an event that they're fully expected to announce new iPad Pros on the 30th of October. And like Samsung announced today a tablet that is, I mean, it's got 4 gigs of RAM, a 128 gigabyte hard drive, USB port. Like, so on the Windows side, the manufacturers are coming out with tablets that are capable of running the Windows version of the Adobe software we already have. Mm-hmm. Whereas iOS is so pervasive and so different from macOS that for them to announce it like that is, it makes it more of a thing. And with only Apple in charge of what goes into the systems, and I think a lot of it is the Apple chips are now fast enough to make up for it for the production. And, you know, because I couldn't imagine using Premiere to export or even Photoshop to export a fully rendered file of any size on my iPad 2. Like, there's just
no way.
But my iPad Pro, it's a year and a half old. I still get 10 hours of battery life out of it with the screen on full bright while I'm on the Wi-Fi's or on LTE, doing like photo editing and everything else. So it's got the power, it's got the resources, it's not going to drain it too much. And whatever they announce this week will only enhance that. Meanwhile, on the Windows side, Samsung and Dell and HP are already coming out with tablets that are capable of doing it on their own. They don't need Adobe's help for it.
Here's my prediction in the next 3 years, and I strongly have a feeling that this is going to happen. Within 2 to 3 years, Apple's going to announce no more on laptop or on PC storage. All storage is going to be cloud-based, so no more hard drives whatsoever.
What was the time frame that you predicting this?
I think 2 to 3 years. It's going to be a mandatory all new PowerBooks and all new iMacs, and pretty much everything that has a hard drive is going to be gone. It's going to go to a cloud storage only system, which is going to push everybody else to do something similar. And the only holdout you're going to see is probably either Dell or HP. And then within 5 years, you're going to see laptops completely go away. And the only desktops you're going to see around are specifically going to be power users or gamers. Outside of that, if you're not streaming, if you're not gaming, you're not going to have a keyboard at all. You're going to end up going to tablet only within 10 years. And this is exactly the push you're seeing with Premiere lightening their load up or lightening their resources use up. This is what you're seeing with all these, dare I say it, they're all going to the gym and they're all shedding weight right now.
Yeah, with how fast storage prices are dropping, though, for hard drives, like I don't see them in the next 2 to 3 years getting rid of hard drives completely. I think 7 to 8 years, I might be on board with this. 2 to 3 seems aggressive.
Here's the only reason I think that's going to happen is because soon they're going to have to make their big jump. Apple has not made a big jump in what, 6 years? They haven't made a big, huge jump forward. They've done incremental, small little pushes.
Depends on the platform, I think. Because, for instance, The iMac Pro will be a very large jump over the Mac Pro, which was way overdue and overpowered, but way overpriced. So it never really caught on. The iMac Pro is totally different. And I think that's where, so that was a jump in the last year or whatever. Laptop wise, I don't think they've made a big jump since 2012 when I got my MacBook Pro. Was the last time they made a big jump there with the Retina screen, the SSD hard drive, way better battery life. Like, I think that was the last big jump there. But
those are good geeky jumps. I'm talking huge societal grab, 90% of the market and one failed swoop.
See, and so I think you nailed it when you said 90%. So like when the big like transfer to like all cloud, right? No local storage. I think it's going to be more in the 80 to 90% adoption area, because there are going to be people, not just gamers. There's going to be like regular people, right? Like non-gamers, I guess is what I'm trying to say, that will want to have local storage because they don't want to have their shit in the cloud. Whether that's paranoia or just security mindedness or whatever, right? Or some other reason. they're not going to want their stuff out there. They want it only on their device, and, you know, whether that's for you know, malicious purposes or just privacy concerns or what have you. But that market is still going to exist. So I think companies, including Apple, at least for a while, are going to still offer like maybe a, you know, maybe a less powerful model or something for users that want to maintain that, at least past your 2 to 3 year conjecture time frame.
I think for us to move to a non-storage model, like non-local storage model of any import, as in more than just the operating system on the, or only the operating system on the local device, we will need to have 95% coverage of generation 5 LTE or whatever the hell it's called.
5G?
Yeah.
5G?
Genuine 5G with terrible...
Yeah, we're probably 5 to 6 years out from that.
Though. Right, but that's what you need before you can start doing any of that stuff.
You are 2 years from 5G being implemented by Verizon. Then you're going to see AT&T try to jump on sweep that, and then you're going to see T-Mobile, now that they're combining.
The problem is, network. Yeah, two years out from L.A., New York, Chicago, Dallas having it.
Well, Verizon's
Seattle,
already
probably, but
Verizon's
Oxford,
already in the market.
Indiana having it, we're way more than 2 years out.
Right, which is why I said 95%, because you're going to have the out cases regardless, but once you have like 95% of people with more than a gigabit connection on a mobile device, with decent battery life, then you can reasonably, within about 2 years, about one generation of devices, start seeing hard drives essentially disappear, but not until then. And I think we're five, maybe 7 years out from pervasive 5G.
You got to remember, because 4G is a jump out. What pushed 4G was the release of iCloud storage. iCloud storage pushed the opening of 4G market to begin with. So if Apple pushes a storage list altogether, that will, you'll see 1 gig plus really get pumped out really quick.
Yeah, I think it's the infrastructure build. Like, who's going to pay for it? You know, I mean, if Apple's willing to invest in 5G infrastructure across the country, then fuck, like, that everyone will adopt it tomorrow. But yeah. I think we're a little bit further out from getting all of that in place.
Well, if you'd like to know where we're further out from, you can cruise on over to patreon.com/ritualmisery. If you give a fuck, give a buck and help make this show possible. Help us do fun stuff like going to South By and having cool t-shirts made and things like that. So patreon.com/ritualmisery. That's where you can go, and that's where we'll be. So see you there.
I'm going to double down on my challenge. I want people to show up like with a $5 pledge. I mean, come on, kick in $5. That's less than a coffee now. Just kick in $5. These guys are worth it. Watch their show grow. Let's get them out in the open. Hey, maybe we could actually get them to come to your town, have a little fun, goof off, shoot some silly ass videos, and actually like start taking on Night Attack for the King spot. I'm tired of them being the B team.
That's ambitious, but that would be fun. All of those things would be fun. We love to go out to different cities and meet people, and South By is always a good time. And we would love to do live shows in your city, wherever that might be. Patreon.com/ritualmisery. Give a fuck, give a buck. Amos, a movie draft minute this week.
Welcome to your Movie Draft Minute, presented by DiamondClub.tv for the week of October 15th, 2018. I'm your host, Big Voice Jay. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for herpes. Somehow it got upgraded to first class. Let's go to the scoreboard. Teams Game Night and Have a Drink are all tied for last place. Team Vod Squad's found some Goosebumps fans out there. They've also found fourth place with $17.8 million. Team Movie Party's First Man and Bad Times at the El Royale combined were third place and $28 million. And Across the Chasm is second place. And Team Drunk Kids Gaming with $148 million. And continuing to harness the power of A Star Is Born and Night Jewel for first place with $162.4 million. It's Team Ritual Misery. That's your Movie Draft Minute. All told as a record as of October 17, 2018.
I got to hand it to you guys. I did not see A Star Is Born doing that kind of numbers.
Yeah, dude. Like, I called it, too. I said, this is a second week movie. The opening weekend was a little bit disappointing. Second weekend, we pretty much cleaned up. Mm. So I'm not disappointed with that purchase. I don't know, man. Amos, we are in first place for, what, the third week in a row? Fourth week? How far into this are we?
I'd say about three quarters of our first place run. I think we got one more week of first place.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I think we are going to drop into second place probably either next week or the following.
Yeah.
Quickly followed up by third place, another week or two after that. We're probably going to linger around fourth, fifth place until Wreck-It Ralph 2 comes out. And then I think we're going to jump back up to either second or first, and we'll see if all goes according to plan, we're going to jump back into first place. And it's kind of a matter of, can we hold it?
I see us in a death spiral. We don't have another movie until halfway through the draft is over. And then we have one last movie, but it's not even at the end. It's kind of like the middling at the end, like the beginning of the last part of the season. And that's Mortal Engines. And I don't know how much I expect from that. Hopefully it'll bring in $100 million, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Not confident.
Ralph Breaks the Internet needs to be our Incredibles 2.
Yes. Yes. It literally needs to break our internet. That's what it needs to do.
Exactly.
So, I hope it does, but you got to remember, you're talking about a sequel, guys.
But it's a sequel to a really good movie with a lot of the cast returning, and it's a Pixar movie. So, or not Pixar, is it?
It's Disney. It's just Disney animation.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, it's pretty much done by the Pixar guys.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a lot of talent crossover for sure.
Yeah.
It's flying under the Disney banner. So. You guys are movie guys, and you are also 80s kids. So I put together something that also has a Big Voice J voiceover intro.
Can I please have your attention?
In the last 30 minutes, Kent's done something. Now you've got a guess.
He was very excited.
Kent's games.
Play with him.
That is the
I call
one
this
way
game.
To say
your favorite comedy movies are from the 80s? Hashtag me too.
Oh, geez.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a plot of an 80s comedy movie. It's going to either be the overall plot or just a major plot of that movie. I'm going to read it to you in modern day sensibility terms.
Oh,
and then you are going to tell me which 80s comedy movie I'm describing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with Squid. I'm going to ask you the first question. And then whatever your answer is, if Amos disagrees with it, he will have the opportunity to steal. And then we'll move on to the second one where Amos begins, so on and so forth.
I would just like to say, fuck you, Kent. Fuck you.
All right, Squid. Your first movie synopsis is: two teenage boys create a real-life sex doll with a computer with the intention of having sex with her and impressing the girls at school with their sexual prowess. What movie is that?
Well, that was Weird Science.
Amos, was it indeed Weird Science?
It was.
It was. All right, very good. So the point goes to Squid. So the way we play this is if Squid had gotten that one wrong, but Amos, you challenged and said that, no, it's science weirdness, and it happened to be science weirdness, you would steal that point from him. So, Amos, this time we go to you first. Your plot synopsis is, when a woman he is working for gets amnesia, a man convinces her she is his wife, so she will clean his house, take care of his kids, and have sex with him.
Oh, you better not miss it.
Overboard.
I agree.
Yeah, that indeed.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Is Overboard. We're talking about the original 1980s one with Goldie Hawn Kurt Russell, of course.
Yep. Didn't they get married right after that one?
They did.
I think
I don't think they got married. They got pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, they had children together.
Yeah.
All right, Squid, your next movie. A college professor gives electric shocks to a male student so he can try to have sex with a female student. He later sexually harasses and stalks a female client and continuously pressures her for sex. That is, until she becomes demon-possessed and horny. What 1980s movie is this?
I'm trying to remember which one did she get demon-possessed. Wasn't Zapped. Zapped was about Scott Baio. Oh, God.
Yeah, this is Scott Baio. Scott Baio's movie Zapped was such a low-key, like, it was probably playing on Cinemax in, like, 1985. And it's one that you didn't sit through all the way. You just caught, like, half of it.
You never sat all the way through those movies.
Oh, I did. I was that kid.
All right, Squid. So your movie, once again, is a college professor gives electric shocks to a male student so he can try to have sex with a female student.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
So you say Ghostbusters? Do you say, does that sound like the plot of Ghostbusters, Amos?
No, it sounds like one of the many subplots of Ghostbusters.
Okay. All right, so Squid, you do, in fact, get the points for that because I was describing Dr. Venkman's behavior in Ghostbusters.
Yep.
Amos, on to you. A boy that appears to be older than his 13 years lies to a woman in her 30s. And has sex with her. What movie am I describing?
I knew what it was until the last sentence.
So basically, a 13-year-old boy has sex with a 30-plus-year-old woman.
Talk it out, man. Talk it out.
A boy that appears to be older than his 13 years lies to a woman in her 30s.
I'm going to go. I just don't know about the last part, but I have to go with Big.
Yeah, I agree.
Squid, what do you think? Is he right on that one?
Oh, yeah, because it's a classic Zoltar show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Starring the Academy Award winning Tom Hanks, but not for that movie. All right, Squid, over to you.
I do remember them actually shagging. I remember him getting on the bed and saying, okay, well, I get to be on top, and then he gets on the top bunk, and, like, she's supposed to sleep on the bottom. So, yeah, okay, all right.
Didn't it happen on the trampoline or something like that?
I think so, or, like, in the ball pit or something. Yeah. Like
I don't know, the shimmy-shimmy cook-a-puff.
And played chopsticks on the giant piano in Toy Story. All right, Squid, your next movie synopsis or plot point of an 80s movie is a college freshman dons a disguise and rapes his bully's girlfriend.
Got it.
It's going to be Revenge of the Nerds with a 2-bit fake ass Darth Vader.
Amos, do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dude, that's my
of course that is Revenge of the Nerds. It was Lewis Skolnick tricking his bully's girlfriend into thinking that he was, in fact,
there. There is a documentary about the making of those movies, especially the first one. If you have not seen it and you're a fan of those movies, go find that. I have no idea what it's called, but
I know which one you're talking about.
It was an amazing movie to make by all accounts down at the University of Arizona. It was Arizona University. That's probably where it started its party phase. Cause holy shit.
Is one of those, it's right up on the same line of Caddyshack with the background stories, like where the documentary's better than the movie and the movie isn't even half as crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to check that out. All right, Amos, on to you, your next movie. The hero gives his blackout drunk girlfriend to another protagonist to rape so he can have an excuse to break up with her. The hero gives his blackout drunk girlfriend to another protagonist to rape, so he can have an excuse to break up with her. Any idea what movie that is?
No.
I know it.
I don't.
So basically, a guy wanted to break up with his girlfriend to be with another girl.
No, I got that part.
And in order to do that, so they were at a party and his girlfriend is in the other room, passed the fuck out, completely shit smashed drunk. And he tells kind of a nerdy character. He tells him that, hey, my girlfriend's in the bedroom and they're passed out. And I guarantee I could violate her in 10 different ways, but I'll let you have her.
I know it was 1986, 87.
I'm at a complete loss.
Squid, do you have any insight here?
This is going to be something stupid like License to Drive or something.
Yeah, it came out in like 85, 86.
I'm going to go ahead and call this one. That was, folks, the Howard Hughes class or the
16 Candles.
Damn it. What's his name? Not Howard Hughes.
No.
What's his name?
Not Chris Columbus.
John Hughes.
John Hughes. Thank you. Thank you.
John Hughes.
I'm like fucking Howard Hughes. Jesus. That was not that guy.
No,
not the Elon Musk of eras past. But yeah, the John Hughes classic 16 Candles.
16 Candles.
Nailed it.
Yeah. I think that one was like 1983, 84, something like that.
I was trying to think of a John Hughes movie and I couldn't think of anything besides Breakfast Club. And I was like,
that plot was used before. It wasn't just then. Oh, it was used in,
that was a plot point in a lot of 80s movies.
Every John Hughes movie came from another movie. It was just done better.
Basically.
Well, done more prescient for the time.
We move on to you for your next movie.
You.
Squid. Squid.
Yes.
It is Squid's turn. Squid. Here is Squid's next movie. A teenager schemes to sexually assault his mother and get beaten up by his father. Does that sound like a movie you've seen?
What is it?
That's the one with Patrick Dempsey, where he's a gigolo who delivers pizzas with the crazy ass mustache, the sombrero, and oh fuck, it's not Mr. Right. It's damn it, I can't remember the name, but it's with Patrick Dempsey. Where his mom like calls him and he goes over to like some weird hotel and his mom's there and he's like, holy shit. And then his dad comes down. Boom, boom, boom.
Okay.
Fuck. I can't remember the name, but I gave you the whole movie.
Amos, any ideas? Is Squid right? Or is it a different movie altogether?
I didn't even hear the clue. So,
okay. So one more time, a teenager schemes to sexually assault his mother and get beaten up by his father. Any ideas? I mean, does it? I mean, I bet both of you guys have seen this movie. I mean, you're 80s.
Oh, I know
kid.
I have.
No, I'm almost willing to bet that I have not.
I would bet against you in this one.
I know you've seen it.
A teenager schemes to sexually assault his mother and get beaten up by his father in Back to the Future.
Oh.
Marty McFly basically tries to like fake rape his mom with the intention that his dad would come around the corner, see this happening, pull Marty out of the vehicle, knock him out, thereby being the hero to get his mom and dad together. Of course, Biff ruins the scheme and actually tries to rape Lorraine, but that's a whole other subplot of the movie.
Welcome to the 50s, yeah.
All right.
All right, my turn. These have gotten progressively harder. You've done better with the order.
I like this.
All right, Amos, your next movie and the final question in this contest, which, Amos, this gives you the opportunity to tie Squid at 3 points. A group of high school boys drill a hole in the girls' locker room so they can watch them shower, and one boy sticks his penis through the hole.
I think Squid. I remember my first time watching that movie.
Have you seen this movie? It's funny that you complimented me on making these harder. I basically just spelled this one right the fuck out.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man.
I know what movie you're talking about, and I know that I have not seen it.
Oh no, you did, because we talked about this for hours on end when we were comparing it with that one we saw with Tom Cruise about going down to Mexico, dude.
All right, Amos, are you passing on this one?
Yeah, pass.
All right, Squid, for the chance to steal and the win.
Dude, that is Porky's. That is classic Porky's.
Never seen 100% Porky's.
Never seen it.
That is like straight up. I tried to be clever with all of the wordings on these, except for that one. That is straight up description of the scene.
Nope, never seen it.
And the best part of that scene is when the coach like reaches down to turn it and twist it and pulls
grabs
on
his
it
dick through the hole. Yeah, and she wanted to identify it because he had a wart on his dick or something like that, or a freckle. So she made all of the boys drop their pants so that she could identify his dick.
The only one that was even coming to mind was with the Invisible Boy or whatever, the Disney movie where they're talking about what he should do now that he can be invisible. And one kid's like, I'm not going to sneak into the girl's shower. And the other kid's like, are you kidding? I've been beaten off in the shower so much I get a hard on when it rains.
And I was always like,
I can't believe this is a Disney movie. Even as a teenager, I was like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
It was like the Invisible Boy or some crap like that. Something stupid. The only memorable part of that movie was that line.
Right. Yeah. And I remember that line clearly, but. So that's our game. Squid, you have won 4 points.
Every school in Alabama.
Yeah, that was fun. That game, it took me a while to put it together, but it was a lot of fun to put together. It's actually one of my favorite games that I've made so far. I'm going to have to copy this one.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was a good one.
All right, we got one more thing to talk about before we get out of here tonight, because this is actually already a long show. Squid, Kent, maybe you have some insight on this Squid posed the question in here, so I'm not even going to let him ask because that would just be a good host of me. He wants to know if he should get a new PS4 Pro or some VR or a new Xbox, whatever, or build a $500 cheapie for watching internet content. Where's your money at right there? If you got $500 bucks, what you doing?
Well, that thing right there is dying.
My question to you, Squid, is, is this only for watching streaming content? Like, not for gaming, not for any other purpose, just watching like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime?
Some light gaming. I don't console game as much. It's just not as much fun. The communities kind of suck. Now that they put like so many blocks, like it's what, $50, $60 a year for PSN to play online, and I think what's Xbox? I think another $60.
Yep.
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah. So not much for gaming. As long as it can stream content, that's all you care about.
That's the major thing. That's what I mostly use that for now. It used to be for like playing Gran Turismo and SSX and stuff like that.
So my suggestion then would be to purchase a $300 television, like a 38 or what is it, 42 inch, I think, TV for like $300 and get a Fire Stick or a Roku stick. You're under your $500 cap and you're going to have a positive cord cutting viewing experience.
Which I was right there. I was really, really right there. Only thing is, like, any like on TV apps that they have are Wi-Fi killers. Like, they suck up all the bandwidth. I don't know why. Why, you know, you could do the same streaming on a PC. Doesn't suck up all your bandwidth, but you watch it on TV, it like drags.
Interesting. So I use Apple TV. I know you're a big fuck Apple guy. I use Apple TV and I have not noticed any degradation in my streaming. So like I can have someone in the living room watching Apple TV, like Netflix on Apple TV, while somebody's on a PC in another room watching Amazon Prime or something like that. And I don't have any degradation on my computer. So I don't know if that's maybe that's a like a Fire Stick thing or something, but I've never had that issue with Apple TV.
I would suggest you get a $99 Roku Ultra with a Ethernet port and go wired. I have an Apple TV. I don't have the 4K version, but I do have an Apple TV. I do have it wired because I believe in wiring everything that I possibly freaking can.
yes.
And I've never had any problems, but for $99, you get a Roku Ultra, plug it into the Ethernet port and stream all that you want all day long. Or get Apple TV, the 32 gig version, because you don't need the 64 because it's kind of pointless to have the 64. Get the 32 gig version of the Apple TV. I know you hate Apple, but at least it's the least Apple thing you can get. And you get that thing. That's what, $149 or whatever. And it's got a little bit more capability than the Roku. It's a little bit more closed off, but you still get all the same functions that you normally would. And you wire that damn thing in. And call it a day.
Yep. Wiring it in is the key.
If you are not playing games, screw all that and just get the streaming box. That's what I would recommend.
And if you just want to play like a random game here and there, if you get the Apple TV, you can actually download games that you can play with your Apple TV remote on your television.
Or you can buy a third party remote and do it.
There you go.
Yep.
So there you go. That's my, I'm solid with Amos on this one.
Yeah, or get an NVIDIA Shield and you get all the streaming and you get Steam.
Yeah, you could be the third person on Earth that actually still uses NVIDIA Shield.
There's like five.
All right. Yeah, you could be number six.
If ever there was an overpowered streaming box, it's the NVIDIA Shield. Right. So, but even the NVIDIA Shield, what is it, like $200 or something like that?
Probably. Yeah, it probably is. Like, it's, I don't know. It's, to me, it's way not worth it.
Let's go.
What do you think, Squid? What do you think of our suggestions?
God, buying anything Apple is like stab in the heart.
NVIDIA Shield is $179 ship.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that low. It's still one of the more expensive options. But I think, so, if you are solidly anti-Apple, I would say a Fire Stick or probably go with like the Roku Ultra, like Amos said. Mm. The key, though, is wire it. Throw a Cat 5 or Cat 6 into that bitch and wire it directly to your modem. That way you're not touching your Wi-Fi bandwidth and you should be pretty solid as long as you've got like a decent down bandwidth, like, 100 down, 100 gigabit down. I'm sorry, 100 megabit down, gigabit. Jesus, what the fuck decade are we in?
Things and stuff.
But if you get like 100 down or somewhere in that neighborhood or better, then like wiring it, you're not going to hurt your Wi-Fi bandwidth in any way whatsoever.
Okay. And that was my concern. That and now that everybody in Disney's like moving their streaming to solo streaming, Fox is trying to get Fox Now off the ground so they can get away from Hulu. Hulu's like becoming just Hulu only, and everybody's coming out with some form of a streaming channel. Everything's going to start costing $30 a month or $10 a month.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how all of that, like the services shake out. But I think the hardware availability, like there's going to be like four big players like there are right now. And it's just going to be a matter of which ecosystem you're the most comfortable in. And me being so solidly inside of the Apple ecosystem, Apple TV just made sense to me. I like a lot of the features, like the stuff that I'm not even using yet. Like I don't yet own a 4K TV, but I'd like that my Apple 4K or Apple TV 4K is anyway, whatever. I'm getting in the weeds with that.
Also,
but,
don't forget that no matter what streaming box you get, if you get a streaming box, you can plug Plex into it and it opens a whole new world, especially if you already have a library or know somebody who has an extensive library.
Yeah, and Plex is one of those things that you're going to need storage.
That's another thing I was looking at is Windows Dev boxes or what is it, DIV boxes, where, oh God, it starts with a K. They're straight out of Japan or China.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you can just, all you do is put it in a website and you download everything from that country. That's been airing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That sounds like in that gray area of legality. Like it's not black market. It's not, free market. It's like gray market type stuff where it's not necessarily legal, but it's not necessarily illegal. Prosecutable either. Yeah. So.
All right. If you have suggestions for Sean, where can people send those suggestions at, dude?
Right now I'm at I am Squidicus on Twitter. That's pretty much it for that.
Yeah.
Get a hold of you guys. You guys will get me the information and I'll look at it and go, okay, cool. Right now, the biggest thing is I'm just kind of everybody I try to get on board with this, podcast idea I got kind of filters out because, oh, I'm moving away and I don't have time. Yeah, whatever. So I'm looking for someone who's a little ambitious, that's really deep into music like I am, who's who's not afraid to spend a couple of hours a week to come up with some weird ideas and put a playlist together on the strangest topics.
There you go. If you're into music, man, let them know. I am Squidicus on Twitter.
Hell yeah, man. If you want to shoot me a message, I am all about the Twitter at @RM_Del Noche. I'm in a bunch of other places too. If you want to find me on any social media platform, just search Del Noche or Del Noche 77. You're bound to find me there. What about you, Amos?
You can find me on Twitter. That's my favorite platform. It's where I do all my best jokes. Definitely not on this show. You can find me at Ethan Kane, ETHANCAINE. You can find this show at Ritual Misery on the old Twitter. And then, of course, you can submit ideas or subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. We are live almost every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time or 7 p.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/ritualmisery. And of course, we want to thank Mr. Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use his music, because his music is everywhere and we love playing it. So mostly thank you for listening. For Kent, for Sean, for me, and for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
RITUALMISCOY